Welcome to the ShadowNet. My name's Phil, aka Xeroth Maxima, Threat Level Alpha. You know we're good boys, but sometimes we let an oopsie out, so watch your ears. My extra special guest today. It's late on a school night, but that's the kind of sacrifice he makes for scoops. It's Eric Keelbeck.
Do you have a flight to NANPC yet,
Phil? No.
You need to fucking do that.
I'm trying to convince people to drive.
Who the fuck is going to do that drive with you?
A couple of people.
Fine. I don't care whether you drive or fly, but like, please come.
I'm trying.
Why? Can you not do the flight?
The flights are ridiculous right now. I could pay for it. It's just like, why not a nice drive through the Rocky Mountains?
Yeah, fine. Wonderful. I don't care. Get the boys together. Exactly. I was trying to convince Redemptor to do it.
Yeah, he's a good time. I hope he comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonus guest today. We went straight to the top. It's the president of Null Signal Games, the ice cold jazz itself. It's Austin.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Do you think that appearing on an episode of the ShadowNet is going to hurt your re-election efforts?
I don't think so. I probably have already lost all the primaries, but I haven't looked at the results yet. So it's Super Tuesday after all.
How long have you been president for now?
Since 2022, or like very late 2021.
So you have 2 years left in your term.
Yeah, exactly. So
wow. Do you feel like now that you're in the back half of your presidency, you're not going to get anything done? Like, you did all the stuff you wanted to do in 2 years, and now it's like...
The real wild shit right now.
I thought you were going to give me the same question about, you know, coming to your event, and I had a nice quip prepared, and now you ruined everything.
Yeah, no. We just fire straight from the hip. There's no consistency and no coherence.
Oh, let's start over. Hi, I'm Austin.
Hi, are you coming to NANPC Vancouver?
No.
Fantastic.
Perfect. You don't get the quip anymore. You
wow. Sorry. What is being president? I'm going to be honest. Like, Jeff's the organized player manager, right?
Yeah.
I know what the words organized and play mean, so it's easy for me to imagine what he does.
Don't know what manager means?
Managers, yeah, we don't, yeah. I don't know what manager means.
He doesn't listen to authority. Come on.
Organized and play, that's easy. But What does the president at Null Signal Games do?
That's a good question. So what I do now is almost entirely managerial stuff. I pay our credit card bills, I file paperwork, do budgets and things like that. It's not very exciting. I miss the days that I was involved in organized play because it was very hands-on and I got to do cool stuff. And now I have one of the boring jobs that, like, everyone says, oh, president, that's cool. But really, it's not. It's not fun.
Do you feel trapped in a way?
Yeah, please help. I'm blinking.
Because you did OP for a while. I feel like you were like NSG from the beginning, back in 2018.
I was, yeah. I was one of the first 8 people that were selected for the board, and I did organized play for a while. And there was a period where Zach, who was the prior president, had to take a little bit of time off for personal stuff. And so I kind of stepped in to fill his shoes. And then when he came back, I think people were satisfied, you know, with what I did. And then when he stepped down for good, then I became the president at that point.
Do you remember... I met Zach twice. I very vividly remember being at Rotterdam Worlds, and Zach brought his like card game he had made himself that was like on a 3x3 grid with robots. That was
I have a different card game that he made himself that's about planets, and it's on my game shelf right behind me.
Zach's about
finance. Thrilling. Love to see it.
Yeah, and so you've been president, and you also have the separate pastime of just like showing up at events all over the country.
Have a habit of sometimes doing that.
No, I remember going to Canadian Nationals in like 2019, maybe in Calgary.
2019, yeah.
And just like randomly were there, and I looked to my left and fucking
the Edmonton people are gonna hate you because that was in Edmonton.
Oh, was it in Edmonton? Fuck.
Yeah, it was.
We got someone good at Canadian geography. Amazing.
Yeah, I grew up in Canada. I don't know if you knew that.
Are you, and then you were at Worlds this past year in Barcelona, and then you're going to be at SF Worlds, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. So I have a long-standing habit of, like, I try to, you know, be conservative and save money. And, like, no, I'm not going to travel and do this and that. And then it's, like, the day before the event, and I get really serious FOMO. And then I start looking at flights, and then I just do it, like, last minute. So, and that's what happened with Barcelona. That's what happened with Canadian Nationals. That's happened with a lot of events.
And that's what's going to happen with NAPC.
It remains like, go ahead.
So I was going to say, so now you've moved. So you used to be in the northeastern U.S., and now you live in
Midwest.
Can I dox you live in?
I'm in, you said what?
Yeah, can I dox you? Can I say what state you're in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just don't want to, like, you know, NSG haters might show up.
Track down the president.
Yeah, track down the president. Get the head of the snake. No, but so you're in Hawaii now.
Yeah, so I kind of did that on a whim right after Worlds. I was really miserable at my job, and I decided, like, I'm never going to motivate myself to find another job unless I force myself to. Sure. So I decided I was going to move, and so I took 2 weeks vacation to go to Worlds in Barcelona, and then I decided I just wasn't going to come back from vacation, and I sold almost everything I owned, and I moved to Honolulu, and it's been great.
And now you're the president of Nelson Games full time.
No, I have I have a full time job that keeps me busy.
No. didn't work out the full-time vacation. Oh, sad to hear it.
Yeah, I think that right now NSG is doing a lot of exciting stuff. The new set's coming out.
What's your involvement in this set? Like, you're a manager, so you're micromanaging like literally everyone in NSG, right?
No, so I'm totally hands off. I have zero involvement. I had even very little involvement when I was OP. Like, obviously, I was making prize kits and things like that, but I still wasn't involved in the development, playtesting, narrative, anything like that. And now it's even less. I'm even more hands-off. So I don't even look at the spoilers. So the spoilers that we're going to look at are also totally new to me, because I haven't looked at any of the spoilers, even though that information is available to me. Because I like being excited and surprised when I open the pack, just like it used to be when FFG cards came out and I got to see stuff for the first time.
You don't think that you could have your own Cipher moment where, like, Zoe makes a card and then you're like, we gotta fucking make it busted? You could do that.
I'm saving that power for a rainy day. You know, maybe
when the budget's down, gotta sell some packs.
Yeah, Desperado, but it costs two.
Sick. That's exciting.
I'll buy it.
Yeah. We got some news. They're selling plushies now? Have you heard about that, Phil?
Yeah,
I have heard about this. It's very cute. I like this.
Awesome. But, like, we need... I saw that, and I was like, I understood why they did Kiko as the first one. But, like, we need other... We need like, the frog from Arisana, right?
We need, like, a white blade plushie.
Oh, yeah. Yakov.
I think that'd be pretty popular.
Actually, no. Not a white blade plushie. We should do a white blade body pillow.
Of course.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We can do like a whole line of white blade products.
Yeah, like white blade body pillow, and then we sell. I don't take baths very often, but I could sell my bathtub water.
Sure, yeah.
There was that one tournament you played in a bath. What if you win a tournament in a bath and it's like Continental winner's bath water?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, tournament winning.
But if you win the tournament, you could win a bath with white blade.
That, ooh. Yep. This is how we're going to fund
the magic bath.
Because right now we're not. Yeah. So.
You can have all these ideas for free.
That's incredible. Well, that's so. One of the things I think about sometimes is how to make the NAPC not cost everyone a lot of money. One of those is, can NSG just give the NAPC like $30,000?
Yeah, let me check. No.
Fuck.
I feel like it was close.
We were close. Yeah, I have to ask you. But yeah.
So before I did, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. Before I did Nisei, before it was NSG, I, and part of, I guess, how I got that job was I did something called the APC, which is the Ashes Player Circuit. So there's a card game called Ashes, Rise of the Phoenixborn. And I had gotten to a point like around the Cipher years where I just was feeling a little down on Netrunner. And so I took a break from it. And I got really into this game Ashes. And then I created, I took inspiration from Spags and the ANRPC, and I created the Ashes Player Circuit. And that was a big foray into organized play, and that kind of blew up. I think it's really cool what you're doing with the tournaments that you're trying to organize.
Yeah, I think that it is... Well, the way I look at it is it wouldn't happen without NSG. So, like, NSG obviously is directly involved, but it's, like, the infrastructure's in place, and the tools that, like, for tournament software are in place, and, like, we're going to use some of the prize kits, and so I think it's going to be just good. Like, I know that, I mean, I don't want to blow up anyone's spot, but, like, I know that some nationals, some people have gotten emails about nationals. I know that some NA and PC events are going to end up being nationals, which I think is exciting, which I think is good. I think it's, like, I think running, like, the NA and PC, like, one of the things on is that I just ran Cascadia last year, and I was like, oh, actually, there is this, like, real desire for, like, lots of inputs and stuff again. So, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. A lot of people are coming in for Vancouver, more than I thought would. Like, a lot of people are flying in. So,
it's about 3 weeks for me to sail there, so I don't know if I can get enough time off, but I'll try.
I was going to ask that, like, I know for you, like, driving, like, you really love driving. Did you sell your cars?
Yeah, so I had had several cars in Detroit. I kept one of them because I made myself promise I would never sell it. It was my first, like, sports car that I bought. Whenever I go to car shows, there's, like, you know, the guys in their 60s and 70s that talk about the cars they had when they were teenagers. And I know for me, that'll be that car. And so I'll spend the rest of my life, like, wishing I still had it. So it's been sitting in a garage in Detroit for many years, just in storage. And maybe I'll ship it over here eventually if I decide that I want to stay here. But I sold everything else. And I had this, like, great idea in my head that I was going to live without a car when I came out here. So I'm just going to live in this walkable city, and I'll get a work, you know, a remote job, work from home. I'll get groceries delivered, something like that. And as much as I like cars, I wanted it to be, you know, something I take for a cruise on the weekend, not something I have to rely on and sit in traffic. And that lasted about a month and a half. The remote job didn't work out. And then I started applying to local stuff and then started getting interviews. And then even, you know, I could have taken the bus. I live in the other side of the island, Honolulu. So, like, I could have taken the bus, but it kind of would have been a pain. And then I got the job that I have now, and they said, oh, you have to have a car. Do you have a car? And I said yes in the interview, and I didn't. And then immediately after the interview, I went and I bought a car.
You heard it here first. NSG president commits car fraud live on air.
Yeah, I did lie to my boss in the interview and told her that I had a car. But then I did have a car within 24 hours, so it was fine.
I'm going to be honest that lying to your boss at a corporate-style job is probably in line with NSG values, more so than the like, you know.
My job now is phenomenal. It's like the polar opposite of the job that I had back in Detroit, which was like working for the, like, I was part of the capitalist machine, like working for, you know, bank, and it was soul crushing and awful. And now, like, I work for a small company and everyone's great. It's just, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a law job right now, and it's a pain in the ass. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. It's exciting. What was I going to say? Yeah. We actually, like, nationals, like, tournament season's kind of heating up almost in some sense, because we're going to have, like, that people just got announced. Like, I know from talking to people that, like, they've been told they're running nationals. And then I think Continentals is earlier this year. I think it's in June or something, which is hype. And then we have the new set coming out.
Right now.
Before the, okay, so
there,
like, I,
before the new we, set coming out?
New set's coming no out.
One's,
the,
no one's told me anything about that.
Can you really tell me out of the loop over there?
It's legal for NAMPC Vancouver. Which is
for the listeners, tell me a little bit more about it.
With the set?
Yeah, the set.
So the set is the second half of the Liberation Cycle. It's called Rebellion Without Rehearsal. It's, yeah, I mean, it's just the second half of the set. It's really exciting. We've seen, like, one card from it, which is a Shaper Red event. But I was going to say, before we talk about our cards, does anyone want to make a prediction for, like, what they want the most out of the set? Like,
a card that it costs two.
Does it really cost two? For what about you?
I want to see the Wayland ID. I want to see it do some weird stuff, but more straightforward than what they did with Ob.
Sure.
Is there, like, they're dumping agendas in the bin? That's the theme, as far as we know. I don't know what it's going to be. It's wild.
Yeah, I think for me, oh man, what do I want to see? I want to see Krim go back to doing, like, weird stuff. Like, not Geist, but, like, kind of Geist adjacent again. Like, I don't think Az is ever going to be supported enough in a way that's good, but, like, I really love Masterwork.
Mm.
And
I hated Geist. I'm a Geist hater.
You can really? It's kind of, like, like, Krim only does, like, one thing right now.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just, like, make runs and make money. That's all you gotta do. That's how you win games. It works.
That's true. Yeah, so this is the Scoops episode for those. I feel bad. You gotta
just tuning in now. Yeah.
If you just jump to the timestamp, So we're going to talk a bit more. We'll probably do, if you want to jump ahead for the scoops, it's going to be at 48 minutes and 32 seconds. And so I'll just give you some time to skip ahead.
It's just going to be silence until then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to pad this episode out.
Okay, I think they probably skipped ahead, so now we can
actually talk. We're good.
Okay.
Total silence.
do you want to introduce our first? We got criminal card this time.
You got to say the first one.
Okay. I want to read the first card.
Oh, please do.
You're up, Austin.
Okay. What part should I start? Like with the name or the cost? Or should
I usually do like name, cost.
I describe the art.
Yeah, name, cost, and then like we'll do the art at the end because this is an audio format. So God help them.
Make up some flavor text, just to confuse people.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go backwards. So it costs 2 influence. And this is a virtual resource. It says, whenever you pass a res piece of ice, you may trash slipstream. If you do, choose a piece of ice protecting a central super in the same position as the past ice. You're now approaching that ice. And that it costs 0. I think
perfect.
It's
perfect. Oh, that's so good.
I think this is going to be great tech in Zaya.
I think there's a one-off encounter surveillance decks. It could
not
16 worlds.
I think it'll do really good at worlds.
Well, interestingly, like counter surveillance says you can run any server. So you use that with Slipstream, like you can skip all their ice, you know, get past one ice on the remote, skip the border controls, straight into the central.
Even in a remote. Who's gonna see that coming? Amazing. No.
Were you playing it in Zaya, Austin, as well?
I was, yeah.
Wow, so two copies.
Actually, at that Worlds, during King of Servers, I counter-surveillance for 18, and I whiff. I still won the game because the top 18 cards didn't have any agendas in them, so, like, what are you going to do? But then all day, for all of the main event, I did not install counter-surveillance once. And actually, I'm still on Zaya, but I've cut counter-surveillance. I'm on some super secret tech.
That's exciting. I mean, like, I think just reg Zaya right now is just, like, Zaya's just good. Zaya, like, running a bunch of being aggressive is good right now.
Yeah, it's just, that's why I love Criminal. It's just like really good at fundamentals, right? Like you just get value out of every run and you just get random accesses and that's, you get agendas and that's how you win games.
I really do feel like one of my, right now, like I think the game's in a really good spot. I actually have an article drafted that's basically, like one of my arguments right now is that the last meta we just left is like one of the greatest metas of all time, like easily top 5.
Mm-hmm.
And Zarya is now my favorite ID in the game. Like it used to be Liza. But now,
I mean, how could you not?
But now it's Zaya, actually. I think Zaya is so much fun to play.
Because it surpassed like Liza, or because you can't play Liza?
I think
it's not as good as Liza, but I think I would still rather play it over Liza. Like, I think in a vacuum, Liza's stronger, but I would still rather play Zaya because I have more fun playing Zaya. It's just like it encourages me to do the things that I like about Criminal, which is just making runs and getting value.
I think that's true. I think, like, the takeaway, like, Liza is stronger and, like, Liza wins more games, probably, but. I think I have really interesting games in Zaya that are really dynamic. And Zaya can also, like, use, like, cards, like, getting able to, like, use, like, the Twinning and Docklands Pass and have it, like, essentially just make you money allows for, like, really interesting aggressive play patterns that, like, Liza just, like, sort of, like, runs you down. So, yeah, I think Zaya is just, like, really interesting and, like, I'm excited to play some of these new cards in Zaya.
Also, 40 cards just feels so good.
Yeah, it's a good
idea. 50 Liza feels so bad.
Yeah, I think it's just like a good, fun, tight deck that like I like, you know, it's really great to play. It's not like super busted either. I don't know, like it's just nice. Whenever I play it, I feel like my opponents have a lot of counterplay. Like it's nice. It's a nice deck to play.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, I totally derailed.
No, that's fair.
All right, first one's you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we have Mala. Oh, Jesus. Malandrigum? Mala? Oh, Jesus Christ.
We asked Morgan, and we still don't know.
Malandrigum. Okay, Malandrigum.
One more time.
I'm not cutting any of this out, legally.
This is a 4-cost, 1MU criminal program that's 4 influence. When you install this program, you load 2 power counters onto it. When it's empty, you remove it from the game. Whenever you encounter a piece of ice, if its strength is 3 or less, you may remove a hosted power counter to bypass it. Use this ability only once per turn. And threat 4 is whenever you encounter a piece of ice, you may remove this program from the game to bypass it. So the difference on the threat is you get to bypass any piece of ice, but you have to RFG the program. And then the artwork is it's actually really nice. It's an Adam Doyle art piece. It's two hands shuffling a deck of cards.
Fedora cards. Important detail.
So, it's kind of like two inside jobs stapled together into a program.
Not really.
I mean, it's better. Like,
I have opinions about this.
Okay, sure. Hit me up, Austin. Do you think this card's good? Love it, hate it.
I think it's bad. I would not play this card.
You think it's bad?
Yes. The reason for that is I think ice that are strength three or less are inherently, almost always, cheap to break.
Sure.
But I can't really think of any ice that are three or less that, like, I think, like, so when I think of ice that I want to bypass, I think of, like, Anansi and, like, DNA Tracker and, like, stuff like that, right? Like, huge ice that costs me a bunch of money. Yeah, just stuff like that is stuff I want to bypass. If I think of ice that has strength three or less, I'm thinking of, like, Enigma. Like, I don't care about bypassing Enigma. I'll just pay two credits. And so I don't think this really saves you credits in that way, but you lose a click because you're installing this program as opposed to paying the credits to break the ice. And it's, like, the threat four ability is good. But that's also, like, in a lot of cases, just worse than inside job. So, like, I know inside job is positional, so they can put an ice wall on the outside and then you can't get past it. But I don't know if having that, like, niche utility is worth the card slot and one MU and four credits and the click to install it as opposed to just playing inside job.
So I will
say I play inside job in Zaya. I think it's
so I play inside job in Zaya, too. And I think that, like, it's interesting because this has some use cases. So, like, right now, for example, Zaya traditionally, like, some decks of Zaya decks don't play Diversion of Funds or, like, run events. Or, like, events
they're,
that have...
They're wrong.
But, like, you can play a Malindogram or whatever and then play Diversion and just bypass the ice on HQ, right? Like, you can effectively staple it. I think also, like, being able to have a card that can work on centrals and remotes is pretty powerful in that way, I think.
Well, I guess you can't. So, I mean, maybe later in the game, once you have threat four, you can do that. But if you're trying to do that turn one, like, thinking is res the ice, and then you still have to face check it. If it's strength...
There's a gamble, yeah.
I think that one of the things I like about this is just, like, yeah, maybe... I think in criminal... I think, first off, this is obviously meant to be Mercury support, right?
Oh yeah, any bypass to get the extra access, for sure.
So Mercury can just play this and then run into your R&D and then, like, potentially, like, get additional accesses. I don't think that's going to make Mercury good, but it's worth noting.
That's just, like, Maker's Eye, but worse.
Yeah, I think Mercury is still not great. So, like, it's not... I think the question is, like, whether you play this in Zaya or not, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of situations where this is just better than inside job. Where, like, the way I like to play Zaya is, you know, maybe I'll... So they go, you know, ice HQ, ice R&D on turn one. And so first thing I do is I'll run HQ just naked and I'll face check whatever they have. Like if I lose cards, whatever, I don't care. I just want them to spend credits. And then once they've spent those credits, then R&D is weak or vice versa. Like maybe if I'm holding the doof, I'll poke R&D. And if, you know, if they think that I'm holding the doof, they'll just keep letting me into R&D without resing anything.
See, this is why I'm so confused. You don't like this because to me, this is like straight up pressure. Like, do they not res their cheap ice because you're just going to bypass it and then attack the other server? Or do they res the big ice because you can't bypass it and then you attack the other server anyways?
Well, like, that's what I'm doing anyways. Like, you're just poking around and making them res it. And if you install this, it's such a huge tempo. It's four credits in a click. Like, that's the opposite of a sure gamble. Like, that's a huge tempo hit. So if you play this and then they res something and you face check it, it's really bad. As opposed to if you just face check it, it only cost you a click, didn't cost you any credits, and then you can recover or play something else after that.
Mm-hmm. I think the case is you use it like once in the early game for like tempo, and then you wait till you get to threat four, and then like on you like RFG it while it has like one charge left, so it would have RFG'd itself anyway. And then you use it to like bypass a brand or like some big thing in the late game. But I do think that so go ahead.
How is this better than Mayfly?
Because this is like if you install a Mayfly, it's gonna cost you 9 credits to break brown. If you install this, it costs you 4. And you get to use it twice.
Let me hit you with this. Ice Carver.
No.
Ice Carver!
Stop, man. I mean,
Ice Carver, while you're encountering a piece of ice, it gets -1 strength. Does this say printed strength? It does not.
Ice, God help.
I mean, if you're playing Ice Carver in your deck, you've already lost.
So I think there is a deck that actually will. So like Mercury, yes, but doesn't make Mercury good. Zaya, maybe, probably not. Okay. I think Padma will happily play this as a one of.
Ooh.
Because when they run R&D, they can charge the Malaga drone or whatever, and then effectively use that charge to just bypass the ice on IMD if it's three or less.
I think that's pretty good. Like, that's a good combo. The four influence is pretty steep, but
yeah, you play one copy. So you play one copy.
I think that's. Yeah. I don't play Shaper, but I would explore that. Like, I think that's worth testing.
I also think that, like, one, like, having a tool that lets you, like, effectively, like, there's a lot of ways to put power. Like, okay, so let's talk about charge as a mechanic, right? Charge, one of the problems that charge has is it just doesn't have any good targets. Like, there's just nothing that, like, directly helps you win the game or win the game that you can charge right now.
Yeah, and I think that's almost by design, because, you know, if you had a deck where the point was just charge this one card until you win, that's not super interactive, yeah.
I mean, I think this is a little Magic Christmas Land, but, like, I think a card that is actually, like, quite good but is underplayed because of the format is Flux Capacitor.
Yeah.
The Flux Capacitor says when you pass the hosted ice, you may charge a card. So it's not, I don't think it's, like, incredibly impossible to imagine a world where, like, as Padma, you go, like, okay, I'm going to install my conduit, or, like, Simul Chip in my conduit, put a Flux Capacitor on the R&D ice, and just keep bypassing it over and over again, because I'm getting, like, a power counter every single time. Like, I'm spending a power counter bypass, but I'm getting bypassing it, I also get a power counter back.
Mm-hmm. Well, the key thing is this card is once per turn, so you can do that once, and then they have an opportunity to override it, so you can't abuse it.
It's probably just good with the Padma ID ability, then you probably don't Flux Capacitor it.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, I think it's good in Padma.
Fuck, never mind. but yeah, I think this is like a... I also think that, like, because it's four credits, if you're playing rigging up in Padma, if you rig this up, it costs one, and now it gets three power counters. I think Shaper with, like, an on the... Also, like, at threat four, like, one of the ways that Shaper wins is by just, like, remote camping you. And I think that, like, it can be kind of hard to keep Shaper out. And if you just give Shaper, like, at threat four, a bypass on a stick, like, that's kind of spooky, I think.
Right, now you just can't score out because, you, like, you got to 4 points and now the game's over. So you can't score it ever again.
So I think this is probably actually the best of them in Padma.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Phil, you want to do the next card?
I'll do the next card. What if there was a good reason for them to res their cheap ice against your Manlagerderm? Maybe it's a run event, one cost, window of opportunity, two influence. You may install one program or piece of hardware from your grip. Run any server. When that run begins, de-res one piece of ice protecting that server. When that run ends, the corp may res the ice de-res this way, ignoring all costs. This is brutal. This is brutal against Big Ice.
Yeah.
I mean, like, is it?
I think this is good in the early game, early to mid game. I don't think this has any utility late game because they can just pay to res the ice again.
I think the question is, like, what do you de-res? Like, what do you, like, if you just, like, in the early game, I think if you're picking a piece of ice, I think the ice has to cost at least 5 credits for this to make any sense.
Yes. Yeah, or like, as many credits as they have, you know, if they have 5 credits and the ice costs 5, like, that's good. Or if they just can't res it at all, then it's fine.
I just feel like Wayland and NBN don't really care about this card, and then, like, Jinteki and HB care about this card a bit more.
No. This is Jinteki the play. Really cares about this. You put the saucy down on the ice. De-res. You run that. They res it. You bounce. You window of opportunity, you get a de-res. Maybe they res it again to stop you. Maybe they don't. And then it re-reses again. You've made a couple of credits off that transaction for your whole turn.
You think this is like the Los support that Los needed?
Yeah, maybe. Probably not, but can dream.
I just think that, like, this is reminds me a lot of that runner card, Always Have a Backup Plan. Where it's like, yes, in theory, but in practice, like, just, like, I think one of the problems this card has is, like, why the fuck are you playing this over Inside Job?
Right. Like, I don't think the first clause is really useful at all. Like, Criminal doesn't install programs are harder. Yeah, it's like, occasionally it's a nice freebie, like, gain a click, but Criminal doesn't install programs or hardware that often. Like, This is another card that I think like could be okay in Shaper, but I don't know. I feel like there's just other cards you'd much rather spend your influence on. If this were a Shaper card, I might play it as Shaper.
I think I can imagine like a world where like in like a year and a half when like criminals doing a lot of like hardware program shenanigans, like sort of like Geist adjacent stuff again. I could see this card actually getting played. But I think that like if you're playing this and the expectation is like this will get me into a server it would not have gotten me into otherwise, you're not going to play this over Boomerang or Inside Job. Just like
right. Your Boomerang is the goat at doing that.
Like, yeah, and it's in the faction. So it's like, I think that until we see a deck that actually really wants to take both of these clauses into effect, it's not going to matter. Because the second clause is just like not, like there are other cards that do that better.
Like Boomerang's one thing, yeah. But you got to remember this is Mercury support, right? You're either bypassing or you're derezzing so you don't have to break. And this does the derez part.
But I mean,
it's not going to help.
It's just, yeah, it has to cost 5 or more credits, or it has to be like really early game where they just can't afford to res it again because of its. So imagine if it's like a, you know, you're on game point and you're trying to get into the remote. If you inside job works every time. But if you play this and it's the end of the game and the corp is sitting on 25 credits, it doesn't matter because if they're going to stop you from winning, they're just going to res the ice again. Like they don't care if they have to pay for it. Whereas with inside job, you don't have that problem.
Yeah, I do think there's this like reality where like let's just be very clear for a second. And that like inside of a year, inside job will no longer be playable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can maybe imagine, like, in the post-inside job reality where they, like, don't print that kind of effect again, and instead they're like, well, you can play, like, Window of Opportunity. God help us. But, like, right now, like, I think right now the answer is no. But I think that in a year and a half, you could see decks that want to play this. Austin, do you want to cover our last card?
Yeah, let's take a look here. All right, so it's a zero-cost resource, virtual, called Slipstream.
Oh, you did it.
This is a criminal hardware. It's 4 influence, unique, cost 2. It's called Alarm Clock. I already like this because it has an illustration with birds on it.
Yeah.
It says, when your turn begins, you may run HQ. The first time you encounter a piece of ice during that run, you may spend 2 clicks to bypass it. So this is an Atom card, but
this
someone
is always
painted
be
it
running, right?
Yeah, someone painted it blue.
Plus Jack?
I'm not entirely sure how I feel about this. I feel like it probably has like niche utility in some decks. But again, like especially in Criminal, I'm not a huge fan of like just like with the first card. I'm not a huge fan of spending a ton of resources to bypass cards. Like that's a useful ability to have in a pinch when you really need it, like the Inside Job. But like spending 2 clicks is a pretty huge cost, so it better be a really good ice. And then the corp can just play around this by like, oh, they have the, you know, some huge ice, they have an Anansi or something, and then they just put an ice wall in front of it, and then it just turns this card off.
So I think that this card is actually incredibly powerful for a couple of reasons.
This is a free run on Archives.
On Archives?
Yeah, for your deep dive.
I mean, I think that. So, like, okay, I think there's a couple spots. I think, like, let's just talk about Sable for a second, right?
Yes.
In Sable, if the mark is HQ, effectively you have, and you choose to bypass ice, you get a click back, you still have 3 clicks after, which means that the bypass was effectively free if you had just made the run anyway. Like essentially the bypass costs a click less. Mm-hmm. I think that Sable deep dive decks are looking for ways to generate extra runs. So, like, now, if you look at the first clause and you start with HQ, you get to, like, even if your mark's on Archives or whatever, you still get to have, like, you can still play Deep Dive.
Yes.
With click remaining to access a second agenda. And I think that's actually pretty powerful, because, like, one of the problems Sable has is, like, figuring out how to Deep Dive or, like, do it all, or, like, lose a click somewhere to steal an Ikawa or whatever. So I think, like, for Deep Dive Sable decks, I think it's actually probably just a strict upgrade. I think that this card is actually really good in Zaya.
See, I was playing Sable for a while. I'll tell you my opinion on that because I'll spill my tech for Zaya. I was playing Sable for a while, like, trying to make that work, so I was curious about it. And I decided that it actually works better out of Zaya. So I'm playing Zaya with 3 deep dives, is my current build. And my console is Swift. And so I'm trying to imagine a situation in which like this is better than Swift, either for the credits or the card slot or whatever. And I don't really think that's the case. Like you can get the extra, kind of get the extra click from running HQ, and you know maybe the encounter has some niche utility or occasional utility, but I think Swift just like has utility the entire game, which just gives me a ton of value in a deck. Yeah. And so I don't know that I would play this over Swift. Specifically in Zaya, when I'm trying to deep dive.
I think for me, so my Zaya decks are just like Twinning and like Twinning and Dockland's Pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like being really aggressive and it has Sesvies in it. And I think that like already, like the Corp is putting two ice on HQ and like often it's not keeping me out. And I think I'm like very happy to play an Alarm Clock and basically be like, okay, I'm getting essentially five click turns because I want to run HQ every turn anyway. And if you put a big piece of ice on the outside that I can't deal with, like, I just get to bypass it. And I'm using my Sesvi credits to probably break these ice anyway. So I think, like, early game, it's also just really aggressive. Like, I think making the corporation commit to having two resed ice on HQ, basically, is really strong. Because even if they put two ice down, effectively they have to res both to keep you out with the bypass.
Right.
And then you just like, okay, I'm going to like go elsewhere. And then like once I have my Sesvies or my Breakers or whatever, then I'm going to apply more pressure to HQ. And so I just think that, yeah, I don't know. I think this is like, I think the question for me is like, how many copies do you play? You might just play it as like a one of.
I feel like in Zaya, this is like the one of. And then if you get it early game, you get it. If you get it late game, it's net damage. You know, you just pitch it.
Yeah, I think like late game, it's like, it's either net damage or it's just like something to install on your Paladin or it's like, yeah, I don't know. I just think that, like, it's one of those cards that, like, I think is actually secretly really powerful. I think getting an extra click every turn is really good. If you're running...
I think of the three cards that we've talked about, I think this is the strongest one by a pretty wide margin, at least in Criminal. You know, the program may have some utility in Shaper, like we talked about, but I think this is the best one. So this one, I would be willing to try this and test with it. The other ones, upon, like, initial evaluation, I don't think I would spend time testing them in my deck.
I think Alarm Clock is the one of these three cards I think is like actually like really just strong Criminal. I also think like we've talked about these cards being all like good in Mercury. I think this is actually the one that is the best in Mercury because it has the lowest investment.
Mm.
And it's doing rewarding you for something you already want to do anyway. So like I think it's pretty reasonable as Mercury to just like one of the benefits you get of Mercury is like you essentially are, like it's Adam, right? Like you have you have the one that gives you extra access on HQ, and you have always been running. And you're just like, that killed a lot of decks in the past.
Yeah, that's great. If you can't manage HQ, like your agenda's in HQ, and you get like a couple bad accesses, that's game.
Yeah, I think, so I think Alarm Clock is the one that like I'm really excited to try in Criminal. And then Maladrogram is the one that I'm really excited to try in Padma outside Criminal. But I think all these cards are cool. The artwork's really great on all these cards. The Alarm Clock one is just like a bunch of cyberbirds dancing around an actual bird alarm clock. I don't know. I think they're all really exciting. I think they are, I don't know, like it's clear that they're trying to make Mercury work.
It's the Mercury set, so you know, I think that checks out.
Sure, I just don't think Mercury is going to work, which is like, whatever, that's fine. I'm glad that we're getting the cards in at like Alarm Clock like that are good in Mercury, but also good in other Criminals.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see like all of these cards reward like what I would consider like fairly aggressive play, which I think is a more interesting space for Criminal to be in compared to like something slow like a 4-9, like Grandy style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are very, thank you for NSU for giving us scoops. Those were all great cards. Cards that I'm excited about from the set that aren't out yet.
Prepare for a lot of deletion in this.
I just think that there's two reprints, like two sort of semi-reprint cards that I'm really excited for.
Go for it.
I'm excited for, which is kind of like a replacement.
Can you tell us what this does? We're ignorant over here. We've kept our eyes from the scoops for so long. Sure, and now sure. You're telling me there's a...
I'm excited to hear you bleep on this. So it's a cost event that says...
sounds like a game I've played, yes.
And then, what's the other one that I'm really excited for?
What is Banish? Is that a new mechanic?
Yeah. And then, oh, Christ, they're doing another they're reprinting, which I'm excited for. Like, I think that's just going to be a super sick card to be in the format again. So I'm excited. I'm actually so fucking excited. I wish I could play an NPC Vancouver. I think Padma's going to be good after, like, there's some shit in here for Padma that I think is fucking straight fire. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it'll be good to see Padma do stuff without the boat being, like, the backbone of that deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just scared of what the rest of the set has. Like, these are good cards. This is going to be tough to play against this.
I think it's fun. I think it's going to be good. I'm just excited to try these in Zaya. I'm excited to try Alarm Clock. Let's just say that, you know, I saw it in playtesting. I saw what it did in playtesting, so I'm excited to see what it does in the wild. We'll put it like that. And hopefully Morgan doesn't get very mad at me for saying that. So I'm excited. I think also, like, yeah, these are just, like, aggressive Crim cards, which I think is good. Okay. I think we just passed the point where someone would skip forward for the scoops time.
We're at, like, 45 right now. Oh, this is perfect. If you've skipped here, you got played. You got played.
Totally fucked.
Austin, what's going on with you? You got some plugs. You got some, I don't know, some news.
You're skipping ahead. Whoa.
What?
We're skipping ahead.
Austin, we have stuff left?
What do you know about Canadian politics?
Hey. Do we have to bleep all this out when I say who I like and don't like, or am I allowed to rag it?
Oh, no. That's the whole point.
Oh, fuck Doug Ford. I hate that fucking guy.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a based take. I like the idea somehow that, like, being a Doug Ford hater makes us want to invite you back, not bleep you in the comments.
I have a t-shirt that says "Say no to Mr. Ford."
Oh, that, dude,
when I go places, like, people just, like, ask me what it means. I was at an airport, and the lady, like, the security lady was like, "Who is Mr. Ford?" I'm like, don't worry about it. Or if I, like, so I'm into cars, if I go to car shows, people think I'm, like, if I happen to wear the shirt, this guy got really angry because he thought I, like, didn't like Fords. I'm like, no, it's nothing to do with the car.
So sick. Dude, Doug, my favorite thing of the last year has fucking been the Greenbelt scandal with Doug Ford. And just, like, nakedly being like, okay, just him being basically like, maybe there was a lot of grift, but, like, who can say now?
Yeah. Well, folks, you know, it's, you know, well, folks.
Holy fuck, Austin, that's so sick.
I love that the cover was, like, his daughter's wedding, too. That's just, like... Oh,
that's so gross.
It's so greasy. It's just so classic, too. Ah, oh.
It's like Carnegie Hall shit, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so fucking, like, 1930s, like, bullshit.
He's just the gift that keeps on giving, you know.
Yeah, he's like, he's
really,
like,
just the whole Ford family, Ford dynasty, I should say.
It's crazy. I don't. When's he up for re-election?
For Ontario, I have no idea.
It's got to be soon.
There was a point when he was planning on resigning as premier because he was talking about running for mayor of Toronto again.
Oh, that's so
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god, wait a second. No, that's so cursed. Oh, 2 years ago was when Doug Ford won re-election. I remember this. Oh yeah, because fucking the Liberals are just shitting out their ass. The Liberals won like 7 seats.
Oh, it's bad for them. Yeah.
It's bad. I mean, well, Kathleen Wynne like lost originally to Doug Ford, and she's like a fucking piece of wet paper. And then
now no one can remember.
When is the next election?
Well, likely in 2 years, if it was 2 years ago.
2026, okay. I was really excited when Olivia Chow got elected as mayor.
I want to say you know more about Canadian politics than 90% of the guests we have on this show. 95% of the show. It's crazy to me you know who Olivia Chow is. Wild shit. You can't come on a fucking podcast and name drop Olivia Chow. That's insane. That's like...
Well, wild. I just did. Sorry.
No, I like Olivia Chow too. I mean, like, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm happy she's mayor of Toronto. I wish she was doing more stuff with the NDP, like, provincially or federally. Yeah. Like, I was sad to see her do the mayor stuff, because I was like, Olivia Chow fucking just has her head on straight, and she used to be NDP federally. And I was glad that she didn't like sort of pick it up provincially.
I keep the Jack Layton train going.
I mean, she's good. She's so good. I mean, she's also really been really good as mayor, I think.
I think so. I mean, well, she's getting up there, so I don't think we'll see another transition the other way. But I mean, I think you cultivate, like, through policies, through, you know, just being there, like, a certain style of politics, I think. And I think it's good that she's there, at least on the local level.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than nothing, right?
No, I think that makes sense. I think Ontario politics is kind of a shit show right now. I'm hoping they vote Ford out in the next election. And then...
Yeah, good luck.
As does everyone.
We'll see what happens.
The guy's just, like, wildly popular. I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. I agree, man.
Look, he was promising Buck a Beer, and Buck it lasted beer. Like a month. Election promise delivered.
Do you have any plugs, Austin?
Not particularly. Like, NSP staff is awesome. Like, thank you to everyone who like makes this game still possible. It means a lot to me. And like, there's so many awesome and talented people on our team. It's like, it's such a privilege to get to work with all of them. That's my plug.
Okay, and then now we won't bleep this next section. Who are the top three people you hate working with at NSG? Just for the plug, for the content.
Eric Kyleback. That guy sucks. I've been like every meeting, I'm like, we gotta fire this guy. But he has so many people that love him. We just can't get rid of him.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. There was a period where that's what it felt like, and also, maybe historically. I don't work. I'm not part of NSG.
Yeah, I know.
I was surprised you're still playtesting, even.
I would love to playtest more, is the answer. I mean, they still like me there. It's just like, I'm so fucking busy. I feel like I wish I playtested more for this set. There are some playtesters, I'll probably shut them out when the set comes out. I don't know. There's some playtesters, I think, who, like, if they hadn't have done... it's not like they single-handedly saved the set, but, like, their work was so important to actually like making the set happen. A couple of like newer people, like people who like really testing a lot. So I don't know. I think the playtest is the playtesting is good right now. I want to playtest for Dawn, which should start playtesting soon. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Austin.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a good night, everyone.
All right, take it easy. See ya.
Shitpost all the way down, shitpost all the way up.